You should be standing at the corner of Moscow and Mott. Moscow Street slopes down to Columbus Park, our next destination. Along the way, midway down Moscow on the left-hand side, check out the convent of the Church of the Transfiguration at 105 Moscow Street, built in the same Gothic style as the school. The sign says Greater Chinatown Community Association, but rumor has it that a single remaining Catholic nun still resides in one of the apartments. At the end of this street, at number 28 Mulberry, sits the Italian Bank Building, which was completed in 1888 to serve the needs of Italian-speaking residents. The impressive corner entrance to the first-floor commercial space is carved out of stone and capped with dramatic arched pediments and an eagle poised to take flight. The apartments above the first floor are slightly more upscale than your typical tenement. This building was owned and lived in by a notorious slumlord, Antonio Cuneo, who came to New York City from Italy in 1855, a penniless 20-year-old. He started a grocery shop on Baxter Street, started another business importing bananas, and little by little poured his profits into cheap real estate in this area, which at the time was pretty seedy. The firetrap tenement houses he built around here were among the worst in the city. Cuneo made a fortune when he sold some of his slum properties to the city to make way for the park you see before you. Around the same time, he built these relatively upscale apartments to take advantage of the location across the street from the new park. From here, we will stroll along the edge of Columbus Park to the other end, where the pavilion sits, and I'll tell you more about the history of the area. Before we get started, notice that there's a public restroom at this end of the park, located in the pedestrian corridor between the ball fields. Columbus Park is situated on the intersection that gave Five Points its name, which comes from the convergence of three streets, approximately where the southeast corner of the park is today. The park sits on a low spot that originally started out as a filthy collection pond in the 1700s, surrounded by breweries, tanneries, and slaughterhouses. The pond eventually was filled in, replaced by a 50-acre slum. In 1842, Charles Dickens described the Five Points in his American Notes as narrow alleyways converging to the right and left, and reeking everywhere with dirt and filth. Debauchery has made the very houses prematurely old. Hideous tenements take their name from robbery and murder. All that is loathsome, drooping, and decaying is here. This area was a haven for freed slaves and immigrants, joined by the most disreputable and forgotten people of the city. While sailors added a certain color to the neighborhood, and prostitutes a lewd notoriety, this area was a decayed, diseased, and violent collection of hovels where despair and hopelessness were a way of life. Paradise Square, the old brewery which averaged a murder a night, the Den of Thieves, and Murder's Row were places where gangs such as the Plug Uglies and the Dead Rabbits transacted their business. By the 1870s, the site of future Columbus Park was known as Mulberry Bend. Reporter-turned-reformer Jacob Riss, who worked from an office located just north of the bend, began extensively documenting and publicizing the area's deplorable living and working conditions in the hope of inducing others to social reform. He devoted a chapter of his 1890 book, How the Other Half Lives, to living conditions in the Bend. Riss's relentless campaigns for legal regulation of housing and health indirectly led to the demise of Mulberry Bend. In 1887, the New York State Legislature passed the Small Parks Act, through which it authorized the condemnation of privately owned property for the purpose of creating public parks. The legislation was meant to provide working classes in densely populated neighborhoods with amenities like fresh air and sunshine. The process of appropriating private land for public use was complicated, and the city faced fierce resistance, especially from property owners. As a result, the property acquisition for Columbus Park was delayed for several years. Today, Columbus Park is a much-loved respite from the hustle and bustle of Chinatown. This has to be the most densely used park in the entire city, always filled with youths playing sports and socializing, and adults playing Chinese board games, exercising, singing together, and playing traditional Chinese instruments. It's always fun to walk through the park, listening to the dialect spoken. taking in an impromptu concert in Mandarin, and trying to figure out the object of the board games they're playing. Our next stop is at the north end of the park, up by the pavilion structure, where we will view the school located at the corner of Mulberry and Bayard.